I gather the docket was running late. Is Walt appearing?
No, I was just on the phone. I had all my lines going, so no. The judge has been waiting here.
Okay, yeah, I tried it about 7 of 2, and then at 2.
So. Right, I mean, and I told the judge you'd probably try to call in, but I was just on the phone and stuff. So we are ready for you, and I will we'll get started. I'm just going to get everybody in the courtroom, and we'll get started.
Are the other parties present?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. All right, thank you, Mr. Byrne. Wait just a minute, please.
Thanks.
Don't forget to register to vote. Your voice counts. For information, contact the Maricopa County Elections Office at 602-506-1511 or go to the elections website at www.recorder.maricopa.gov.
Okay, I'm going to transfer you into the courtroom now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time set for the Resolution Management Conference in DR 2000-090543, Walter J. Burian and Debbie C. Watton. Mr. Burian, are you there?
Good afternoon, Judge Hicks.
Good afternoon. Would you state your name, please, for the record?
It's Walter J. Burian, Jr.
Thank you. And Mr. Brown?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Troy Brown, on behalf of
Okay, thank you. This is a resolution management conference, and it is on I don't exactly know what it's on, to tell you the truth. I know that I have received several motions from father, including one to have the mother participate in a mental health exam and to have the court enter an annulment, and the court order is currently for mother having sole custody of the minor children with father's parenting time suspended. So, Mr. Burian, anything to add?
Just one notation. I, you know, filed my paperwork timely as ordered by the court. I've received nothing from the respondent. I checked my mail this morning. Nothing in the mail yet. So, as far as any compliance from the respondent regarding the minute entry and what was required currently has not been received.
Okay.
And I do note, that I've noted to the court that I've completed the parenting class. As far as I'm aware, the respondent, who was ordered going all the way back to 2000, has been in default for 12 years on compliance with that requirement.
All right. It is true, though, isn't it, that Judge Gass ordered you to participate in several activities before he'd entertain any motion for change of custody?
Initially, I had filed a motion for summer visitation with my son for the summer. I filed it, just before the beginning of the summer. Requested for expedition. The request to expedite was denied. They set it for the end of the summer. The issue of summer visitation for this year was a moot point. So, being that they scheduled it for a parenting conference hearing, the issues that were outstanding, one, which was very important, being that there was a court order deeming the marriage valid back in Yavapai County in 99, and then almost 3 years later, Judge Udall, who I don't think was privy to the Yavapai County ruling that the marriage was valid, ruled that marriage was invalid based on no marriage license. you know, which was available to the Yavapai County Court. They reviewed all the documentation, also there was no marriage license, but the covenant of marriage, and the filing and the recordings, and they ruled the marriage valid. So that's an outstanding issue, which hopefully can be resolved with an annulment as soon as possible. On the aspect of visitation, I did file the documentation as ordered by the court regarding 76C, I believe it is. And, yeah, I noted on the documentation there, the resolution I was requesting summer for 2013. My son will be 14 at that time. And if he chooses to go to school in St. John's, I'm also considering possibly relocating to Mesa if I have the ability to do so. I've always loved the city of Mesa. That, you know, he can enroll in the St. John's or Mesa School District if he chooses. And the notation regarding the completion of the Parrington class, as I mentioned, both parties were ordered by Judge Barbara Rodriguez Mundell back in 2000 to complete the Parrington class. I promptly complied. Debbie seemed to have had a sticker in that matter, as far as I'm aware, and has refused to do so for 12 years, which is clear contempt of a court order over a duration of 12 years. And which was also ordered for this current hearing to be have been completed by. So, you know, as stipulated under 25-351 and as stipulated in the court orders, both in 2000 and currently, that is a default aspect of consideration by the court for what the respondent wants to get accomplished. And also an allowance for what I am requesting in its entirety from the court. The other issue, I filed my notice of financial standing, which really hasn't changed too much. I receive a VA disability pension, which basically covers the expenses. It's clear in my statement, my cost expenses and what my finances are, which I'm, getting by, but on a tight budget. The aspect of, any kind of communication or relations with the respondent, I've tried to remain open and civil to have a conversation. I think we've had two in 6 years for about 5 minutes. The mother has never once provided me any information regarding my son's or daughter's schooling, educational programs, health issues, medical records, zero, zero disclosure, which would normally be the norm. I've tried to remain civil, and I have remained civil. The only contact I had with my son or daughter was when I picked up the phone and called, and they answered. Usually about one out of eight calls will be received. Over the last several years, I would hear parties prompting the children with the worst type of negative indoctrination, and for them to repeat the most negative comments and fiction just to harass, intimidate, and demean. Well, last April, on April 21st, about 2 weeks before I had chatted with my son, I had gotten a motorcycle from one of my neighbors at a really good price, and I had the ability to jot over to Prescott much easier. I asked my son if he wanted me to stop by, and he goes, sure. I said, when? He goes, Saturday. I said, what time? 10 o'clock. I said, well, asked Mom and Grandma and Hank, after I stop by for 5 or 10 minutes, if they'd like me to take him out to lunch. He put me on hold and he said, nope, they don't want to go. Well, the first weekend I was scheduled for was too cold to drive down, so I canceled and said, what about next week? And he said, fine. That was April 21st. And same thing, I asked him to ask the other parties if they'd like me to take him out to lunch. Again, no. I asked him to put one of the other parties on the phone, the adults. They refused to come to the phone. So, on April 21st, a couple of days before, I called the Avapai Sheriff probably about 7 times to try to arrange for a civil standby when I stopped by for about 5 minutes. They said, okay, no problem, but there was one sergeant who intervened and blocked any civil standby. So I even tried calling the sheriff directly, and the secretary said it should not be a problem, but then the same sergeant blocked the civil standby again. But I went out there at about 10:05. My son was waiting for me. I called him early in the morning, and he came up. I said, hey, big guy, how you doing? For the first time in 6 years. Gave him a hug, and I told him I'd take a picture of him, you know, sitting on the motorcycle even before he came down, which I'd run off copies for him to give out to his friends. Well, my son was there for about a minute, and then, Darlene Fuller, Grandma, came down, just being as demeaning as possible. Walter, you can't come here unannounced. I said, I'll let you guys know I was coming for 3 weeks. And then Hank, Debbie's boyfriend or husband, I'm not too sure which it is now, but came down. He was demeaning, and I just said, Hank, did you ever ride a motorcycle? And he goes, nope, never had one. And he calmed down. But then Grandma, I took a picture of JJ, and I wanted to get one of them on the bike. She goes, you got to leave right away, Walter. You got to leave. I'm going to call 911. I said, okay. So I started packing up everything and putting my camera back in the saddlebags and so forth. It took me about a minute. Headed off, drove about a mile away to a fire station to call the last sheriff deputy I spoke to let him know how the stop went, which was stop by for 4 or 5 minutes. They were hostile. Told me to leave, so I left. He goes, okay, well, wait there. Well, I'm heading back to St. John's. He goes, no, wait there for me. I'll be right up. So about 5-10 minutes later, he showed up at the fire station along with this one sergeant, a Sergeant Howard, who I found out knew the other parties from 2 years ago. And he told the deputy to keep me waiting there. He went out down, talked to the other parties, secured 3 statements from him saying I was there for 15 to 20 minutes. He comes back, has the deputy place me under arrest. I ended up spending the night in the county jail for the night, and my motorcycle impounded, and bounced back and forth between Prescott, which was a 12-hour round-trip drive for me, 6 times, to go to court to handle the matter. But, bottom line was, it was noted I was 100% civil, never was anything else, but the judge noted that, it's incorrect. He had signed a statement saying I was there for 15 to 25 minutes, which he said, no, that's not the case. The audio logs from the sheriff's call showed that I was only there for about 4 or 5 minutes. But the bottom line was, at first opportunity, they used it to cause further harm and damage and be demeaning. And that's why I was requesting this sheriff's standby, because I knew that potential existed, which it did. where I am out in St. John's, I have nine puppies, or children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of my old-timer who lived to be 18 years old, and everybody always compliments on how beautiful the dogs they are. But my birthday is coming up on October 12th, and for the last couple of years, every time I asked them, try to get them to bring me my coffee in the morning, they just wouldn't do it. No matter how I tried. No matter how I tried to be civil, how I tried to be a father to my son over the last 6 years, it just didn't happen and couldn't happen from the other side. They act as they act, they do as they do, and they're not going to change. The court needs to enforce the orders of the court and to establish visitation, parenting time, and specifically, I've watched over 6 years of nonstop demeaning, the worst possible conduct, and derogatory influence over the children as can be done. That's not part of my world. I've always been positive and reinforcing regarding the mother and even Grandma, Darlene Fuller. Both my parents were psychology majors, and I grew up over the dinner table with my mother. I was director of Human Services for New Jersey's county agency, and if you lose your stomach, the worst thing you can do is be demeaning or say negatives about the other parents. I've heard that over and over again, and that's the way I live. You know, in a private discussion, I may get a little bit negative, but never in front of the children. The other parties go out of their way to a point where I never even thought was possible to be as demeaning and as negative as possible. Indoctrination, poisoning, and it's not as if it's been going on for a week. They've been acting as, it's been acting as their normal almost from day one. And there's really nothing I can do about it. I tried on April 21st to have a conversation to be civil, and that didn't work at all. I've tried numerous times to have a party come to the phone to discuss matters. Did not happen. You know, I requested my son to ask, you know, for his mom to send me any kind of school records, health records, anything else also. Denied. As I mentioned, I've been trying to get my dogs to make my coffee for me on my birthday for the last 10 years, and they just won't do it. Will not do it. They just look at me funny. If I ask these people to be civil or even note at the aspect of being civil, they just kind of look at funny and smile and say, what opportunity can we have to be demeaning and, you know, do it more? So, you know, Barbara Rodriguez-Mandel, on the first hearing, you know, she saw the circumstances that were taking place, and, you know, she was not happy about it at all. And, you know, I maintained sole custody of my son from when he was basically 6 months old to when he turned six and a half. I had stopped out in New Jersey to visit my father, given notice for about 2 or 3 years that I was heading out to New Jersey. I had filed a motion a year before for an extended visit with my daughter, and which did not get approved, and so I gave notice I was heading off with my son, rolled him in one of the top 5-star school districts on the East Coast, East Brunswick School District in New Jersey. And after I was there and after he was enrolled, I received a court minute entry saying that your request is denied. And they had given final rulings on the matter. You know, the mother had custody of our daughter, and I had custody of our son, and it noted, and by the way, you cannot go back to New Jersey after I was there, so it established an instant contempt order, which they had ordered me to come back on December 21st, and I said, okay. And my son, JJ, was thriving. Every day I'd see an improvement. I was staying with my father, which is a wealthy neighborhood in East Brunswick, the house I grew up in. And my son was extremely happy, and then on November 23rd, orchestrated out of Prescott from a few phone calls from the school district by Troy Brown and a CPS caseworker out of Prescott, motivated DIFAS to get involved. My son was grabbed on November 23rd of 2005, and I have not seen him since that date. He was ripped out of a school where he was thriving, and shipped off back to New Jersey. And that caused a few problems for me back in New Jersey at the time, which I had to take care of. But the bottom line is, my son is 13 now, be 14 next July. My daughter is 12. The daughter has lived almost primarily with the mother since birth, and we've had visitation. On the day she was born, Merrill Carver, who was the head caseworker at CPS, he did not want to return the child to the mother. And he called me up at home and asked me, told me about the birth of the child and asked me if I'd like to take custody of the child. I declined because I did not want to do that to the mother. I had custody of my son. I didn't want to take both children. The mother needed a chance. And to have both children taken away from her, I thought would have been atrocious, so I said no. But the situation of the norm from Darlene Fuller and the crowd has always been demeaning, hostile, and taking every advantage possible to be demeaning and hostile, contrary to the best interests of the children. So on the motions that I filed, you know, it does require, specific court action and the protection of parenting time and compliance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Burian. question the court has is that the court doesn't know what relief you request. You requested expedited parenting time for the summer, but Judge Flores indicated back in, I think, 2010.
Upon my return to Arizona to file a motion for an expedited hearing for visitation and everything else, I did file the motion, and it was dropped on the first one.
And you had to file a proper request for a hearing modify.
And I filed three, and the three were declined. And finally, this is the first hearing in 6 years.
Well, it's not a hearing. It's a resolution management
conference. Correct.
But the court does not, still does not find that you've complied with the requirements for requesting a change in parenting time. You haven't shown the court any change of circumstances. And but Mr. Brown is here. Do you want to speak, Mr. Brown? Do you want to respond? And you're going to have to come up here. We'll be able to hear you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. The reason we're here today is because Father did file an expedited motion for visitation for this summer, which Judge Gass denied. However, Judge Gass did set this for a resolution management conference. I, at the time when I responded to this request and the prior requests that Father had filed that weren't properly filed, they got dismissed, alleged exactly what Your Honor just said, that Father has not complied with the orders of Judge Flores and Judge Anderson back in 2005 and 2006. There was an order for her father to pay for Dr. Land's law that there were attorney's fees for that order to do that. And so the bottom line is that over these last, from 2006 until now, Father has essentially had his visitation suspended. As Father just told you, well, let me keep on the procedural matters before you now. The matter of changing any request to change custody, I don't believe he's properly pled that, filed for mediation, gone through the, you know, statute. So the bottom line is I think any request for change in custody should be outright denied for lack of any substantial continuing change of circumstances. Second of all, as far as Father having any parenting time, again, Father's been failed in that regard. Not only failed in that regard, the reason he had his visitation suspended in the first place was because he was specifically ordered not to take JJ out of state numerous times. As Father just submitted to you, he had asked for over 3 years to take the child out of state, and each and every time he was denied. And when he did take the child out of state, he was given an opportunity to return the child to Arizona, which he failed to do so. In order for the child to be apprehended or taken into custody, Father fled with the child and involved the child in a high-speed case in which Father was incarcerated, and the child was put in DPS care to be transported back across the country. It's interesting to note Father has not requested any contact with Gloria. We're fine with that, and he's just asking for contact with JJ. At this point, the current order provides for telephone contact. My client is requesting that the telephone contact remain in place for the simple fact that over the years, Father has called numerous times to make threats about the grandparents, threats about mother, as far as those people doing things that Father doesn't believe is appropriate, and he'll share that with the children. There's other times when Father will promise that he's going to do stuff, bring them presents or show up for things in which he doesn't follow through. In this case, the additional problems we have is since then, Father has filed, 2006, Father's filed a request for a disability through the VA in order to pay his child support. He hadn't paid child support between 2006 and I believe 2009 or 10 when they finally intercepted some money and we were able to give the VA his VA disability started such that mother was starting to be able to find it if she child support. But the point is, his father's claimed that he's indigent living in a property up in St. John's, Arizona with a large number of dogs and the VA benefited from the income. Well, during that same time he's pleading indigent, he's also claimed that he wasn't able to work because of having a bipolar condition where he was not able to medicate that condition and refused support, that he also was homicidal and suicidal. The point is that he will not commit to a course of treatment. He can't commit to a course of treatment. When he was ordered to participate with Dr. Lanzalotta, he talked to her about having a meeting in the hotel hot tub. As you can tell from his
we had an IME done several years ago in which a father had narcissistic tendencies with reduced brain the point is that the children's safety, father has not shown any change in circumstances, and in fact, because father's latest motions show that father's apparently stuck in some time period between 2000 and 2006 and doesn't recognize the reality of the situation, that just gives us a bit more concern that father does not have the mental health or ability to have any supervised contact with children, given his recently by his father just admitted to you, that there's a supervisor. Father recently went to the property and had an unsupervised contact with JJ. It was only until one of the grandmothers realized the child was out there with Mr. Burian. He was not invited, he was not announced, and he was, and even if the child had said, yes, you can come here, the child has no authority to invite Mr. Burian on the property. As a consequence of that contact, Mr. Burian was arrested for criminal trespass and was convicted in the outside county superior court. I believe superior court, it might have been municipal court. pardon me. So, at this point, Your Honor, there's no basis for a modification in the order under statutory purposes. As far as the motions he filed, I did file responses yesterday, and I'll be happy to tell you why. But the point is that he did file those last week. I had, 2 weeks to file responses, but I got on them yesterday so that the court would have those. And those are also responses, if I can, if you want a simple synopsis of it. The bottom line is question for an annulment. It was actually Judge Roberts who issued an admitted entry in this case, specifically ruling on that issue many years ago. So I specifically outlined that, provided a copy to the court, and I mailed a copy to Mr. Burian. So he's correct. He's not received his copy in the mail yet. And, of course, he would not have time to reply under the rules. But the bottom line is that the ruling he's referring to about a valid marriage in Yavapai County was for an order of protection, and it was only incident to the order of protection. It wasn't the actual main issue. It was only for the purpose of issuing an order of protection. The actual ruling for Judge Roberts was specifically in his court when father filed a petition for dissolution of the court ruled on even bringing up the subject and thinking that he's still married at this late date gives us question as to his mental state and even having contact with his children. The request for mother having a mental health exam, if there was a valid custody petition before the court, that might raise the issue of mother's mental health, but quite honestly, Your Honor, all of the allegations are probably specifically put in the motion regarding the mother's mental health were all things that had occurred while the parties were residing together or prior to the 2005 hearing by Judge Anderson and his third ruling by Judge Flores in 2006. So there's nothing that has, he's got nothing that mother has done that would warrant anything for the parenting time. He's failed to. The real issue here is father's mental health. And unfortunately, due to his indigent status and my client's relative indigent status, neither one of them has the money to pay for further mental health professionals, especially since my father has to pay the current 75 order in 2006 to pay Dr. Can I review my notes briefly just to make sure I've.
Absolutely.
The last point I just wanted to make is, I don't accuse Mr. Burian lightly of anything because in the past he has accused Ms. Cotita, Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, and myself of many illegal activities and various motions. So when I say to the court that Mr. Burian has indicated on the record that he has his bipolar, that he will not submit to a course of treatment, not submit to a course of medication, and that he has been suicidal and homicidal in the past, those are his words at the hearing we had within the last year when he was pleading to the court that he could pay less child support. So because of that, Your Honor, I hardly ever say a father should not have anything but phone contact, being a father myself, but these are extreme circumstances. And having kidnapped a child before, having a trespass when he knows the order is suspended, he's not going to follow the orders and any visitation he has.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I reply?
Yes, I'll give you an opportunity to reply. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Troy Brown for having put forward on the record a clear-cut fabrication of about 90% of the comments that he made. Mr. Brown was disbarred once before. The record from his current statement, which can be verified that the majority is false, should lead to a second and hopefully permanent disbarment. But on the aspect of my son then going to New Jersey, I had filed notice for 3 years. I didn't have a restriction not to leave Arizona. I was giving proper notice, but it was not replied to. I'd filed for a extended visitation with my daughter for 4 months to New Jersey. And as I mentioned previously, which is 100% false on what Mr. Brown said, I had given the date I'd be arriving in New Jersey, and several days later, after I was in New Jersey, I received a court minute entry saying I could not move to New Jersey, thus creating the instant default or contempt. But I was scheduled, as I stated in the prior comment, that I was under court order to return on December 21st. Through the prompting of several phone calls from Troy Brown to the school district in East Brunswick and another operative out of Prescott, Arizona, from CPS, they motivated New Jersey DIFAS to get involved. In plain terms, they orchestrated custodial interference in 100% contempt for the standing Maricopa County Court order, which was for my return on December 21st. On the issue of when this happened, I had about 5 minutes' notice that they were taking my son, and I was in a motorhome. I drove for about 10 minutes slowly around town, as was stated. Not, as Mr. Brown states, in a high-speed chase. Being that it was popping on me so fast, I needed a little time to think and calm down. When I did, I pulled over and released custody of my son at that time. Being that I didn't stop for 10 minutes and drove slowly around town, is where I ran into a problem with failing to yield to a police vehicle. But the bottom line was custodial interference was played out. I well documented that in my pleadings and when I requested a hearing on the first occasion, which was denied. Second occasion, again, denied. The aspect of custodial interference, which I have well documented, including the documents from DIFAS of the parties involved who called to create the custodial interference to play out on November 23rd, I have well documented. That's never been heard before the court. And it's definitive findings that custodial interference was played out. The aspect of Mr. Brown stating that on the aspect of when I stopped by on April 21st, I stopped by to, after giving proper notice, including hearing my son ask the other parties, which they have the recordings of the calls, where they said, nope. Don't want to go out to lunch. Nope. From Grandma and Debbie. 2 weeks prior to my coming down, they utilized the circumstance as an opportunity to cause harm and damage, which is why I so diligently tried to get a civil standby. But it appears they were friends with one of the sergeants, Sergeant Howard, who made sure that no civil standby would take place, so the opportunity would present themselves to cause further harm and damage, which they did do. And it was well noted on the record that I was 100% civil there for about 4 or 5 minutes and left when they told me to leave. But Mr. Brown keeps bringing up psychological issues and so forth. The primary problem I have with the VA... Yeah, where I was granted a VA disability pension was due to severe manic depression, specifically noted from what I've been going through here on this custody case and dealing with the other parties. I've had my children effectively kidnapped from me. Mr. Brown used the word kidnapped regarding my son in New Jersey. Not at all. Outright fabrication. In fact, it plays out the other way around. My son was kidnapped from me in New Jersey, in total contempt for the standing court orders issued for the return by December 21st. The parties involved wanted to move it up a month, and they did, causing severe damage to myself and the son. But the bottom line is, I've taken multiple psychological evaluations, both in this case, and I have an older daughter, which I took several psychological evaluations for. In all cases, the aspect of good father and safety of the children was there. The mother has managed to avoid any psychological evaluation. And I do note that I think going all the way back to Barbara Mundell's time, that Judge Mundell saw the mother was not really responsible for her actions, and required that the mother stay with the paternal grandmother, Darlene Fuller, and she was not to leave. And if she wanted to move from staying with the paternal grandmother, that she had to file for a request with the court to obtain a court order. Darlene Fuller, even though she's hostile and likes to be demeaning as a matter of course, she has three or four daughters, and things turned out pretty well there, so I've never had too strong of a concern with Grandma, being there as an overseer, even though she is extremely demeaning. When I was married to Debbie, Debbie mentioned in her childhood, from little kid up until when she was a teenager, the biggest problem was that her mother and her stepfather at the time, Pete Fuller, would constantly play her back and forth against each other over and over again. Every day, 7 days a week. And when she told me, and she ran away from home 7 or 8 times, and when she told me that, I didn't realize she was giving me a warning. I've seen the play back and forth, which is what broke up our marriage initially. For the first year, from the conduct of Darlene and the step-grandpa, I basically cut him off after the first or second contact for about a year. But when John Joseph was on the way, I said, well, he has grandparents, and I invited him over to dinner, and that was a big mistake, just allowed for the wedge to be thrown in, and broke apart the marriage. I realized after a certain period of time that Darlene Fuller, who was getting older and so forth, things were unfolding based on her wanting to have the children. And Darlene went way out of her way to make sure that she would have control over the children and her daughter and with her. She wanted to be the mom and the grandma. Debbie's, I think husband now, Hank Aguilera, who's about 40 years older than Debbie, Darlene knew from 25 years before she introduced him to Debbie when she worked at the Pinecone Inn. Her and Hank were friends. And from about 11, 12 years ago, Darlene arranged for the meeting, and they've been going out ever since. But Darlene is the controlling factor. Debbie is well-intentioned, and I consider her honest. I've really never heard her lie.
Okay, sir, I'm going to have to cut you off.
Well, quick notation. As far as Troy Brown, what he is saying, he's fabricating 90%, which can be seen if you actually review the case file. He's making a selective presentation,
okay.
Not contrived.
This is going to be a resolution management conference, and I will go and review the file and make a determination. It's ordered to take your motion for summer visitation under advisement. Thank you.
And you did get my other motion, though, correct? The verbal?
For the annulment and for the mother to have a psychological evaluation.
The consideration regarding her not completing the parenting class for 12 years now in contempt.
Oh, I did not get that. Okay,
I motion for the contempt. Thank you. Bye.